Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. And, Jim, we start with the good, and it's kind of following up a little bit on what we discussed yesterday in the good martini, and that's more and more media outlets, in particular mainstream media outlets, calling the administration on the carpet for obvious mistruths or lies, as the rest of the world calls them, about the way that this administration planned and pitched this health care law. We talked about NBC yesterday saying that the Obama administration knew, at least in the summer of 2010, that people would be losing their coverage, even though the administration, up until just a couple of weeks ago, was still promising, if you like your plan, you can keep it. Now the Washington Post has followed up on that. Glenn Kessler giving the president's statement for Pinocchios, which is, I believe, the most Pinocchios you can get, which essentially means it's a flat-out lie. We've known that for a little while now, but it's good to see the piling on continues here.
Glenn Kessler is a couple notches better than the folks at PolitiFact, who are always finding some way to say, the statement is accurate, but we're rating this Republican statement half true. PolitiFact is just not trusted by a lot of folks on the right. They constantly keep shading it a little bit in favor of the party we strongly suspect they favor. Kessler, you know, I think does a better job of calling it down the middle. There are times I'm going to disagree with the guy. But on this one, I think he recognizes how spectacular a lie this is. My colleague Jonah Goldberg said this may be the single biggest lie in the history of the presidency. Richard Nixon or Bill Clinton stuff, that was all about personal behavior. The only one he can comparatively say is maybe Woodrow Wilson pledging to keep us out of World War I, which, of course, he then got, you know, the United States involved in. So this is a really huge one. I did email him, do they do the full Geppetto anymore? That was kind of the equivalent of the DEFCON, well, I can't remember whether one or five is the really big, red alert, basically, condition red, about as high as it goes and stuff. This has to be called out for that. And for this, you know, really lame spin coming from the administration of, well, everybody always knew that it was good. No. You cannot say everybody always knew you couldn't be able to keep your plan, because that's exactly the opposite of what the president was saying. And he said it, one count has it up to 24 times. He said it basically in every single rollout, every single town hall, every single event he did for the Obamacare legislation. He said, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. There were no asterisks. There were no, well, you know, technically, or anything. There was no wiggle room whatsoever. And the American people walked away with a very clear conclusion on this. And as I keep emphasizing, this is why Hillary Care went down in the 90s. And this is, you know, that most Americans, you know, in the 80%, 90% of them who had insurance through their employer generally liked it. And while they might have had a, you know, yeah, it'd be nice to insure the uninsured, but I don't want to jeopardize my insurance to take care of those folks. You know, you can call that selfish or greedy if you want, but that's, you know, the way most Americans see the world. And the only way you could get Obamacare passed is by promising and pledging it, you know, and shouting to the heavens, I will not touch your health care insurance if you like it. And, you know, of course it was unrealistic. Of course it was, you know, kind of silly to assume that these kinds of regulations would not end up having far-reaching effects in the entire insurance industry. But Obama made that giant pledge, and of course now it's not true. And it's just fantastic to see on the front page this is happening. You know, you're hearing some people say, well, the president could have been clearer. Bullpucky, to invent a word. The president lied. You know, it's the NBC report said they knew the consequences were going to come from this kind of change. And so, you know, the president deserves to get raked over the coals for this. If you pass legislation making a giant promise and it breaks that promise, if that doesn't justify repealing the legislation, I don't know what does.
But Jim, I think you're being too hard here, because Kessler opens the piece with an Obama statement that offers so much wiggle room. He says, that means no matter how we reform healthcare, we will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your healthcare plan, you will be able to keep your healthcare plan, period. No one will take it away no matter what.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no asterisks. There's no in between the lines. You know, I mean, basically, the artist, well, when he said that, you should have known what he meant was exactly the opposite of what he just said. You know. By the way, I just want to point out, literally, as we are having this conversation, I am told, I have the television on in the background. I am told that during Kathleen Sebelius's hearing on the Obamacare site, one of the Republican members of Congress had asked, the president is ultimately responsible for this site, isn't he? And her response was, whatever. I'm not making this up. I don't know if she suddenly regressed to teenagerhood. I don't think she made the W sign or made an L on her forehead to call the congressman a loser. But that has been her response. I guess it's a variation of the Hillary. At this point, what difference does it make?
I guess so. They're all on the same page. All right. Well, you've led perfectly into the hearing because that is the source of our second and third martinis today. The official topic before the House Energy and Commerce Committee today is the myriad of problems with healthcare.gov. Some of the Republicans have gotten into issues about, you know, the private insurance policy cancellations and so forth. And Sebelius has done a good job of ducking and weaving, officially taking responsibility, but in closer scrutiny, having nothing to do with any of the actual decisions anywhere along the way that made any difference in this process. The Democrats, I think I heard one or two of them in the drive-in actually ask a legitimate question about the website and, you know, problems with security and getting it up on and running properly. But here's what most of the Democrats have been doing today. In this case, it's ranking Democrat Henry Waxman of California.
We were told by our Republican friends that millions of jobs would be lost. And in fact, there have been a gain of 7 million jobs. They said that the cost for health care would skyrocket. And in fact, the opposite is true. They said tens of millions will lose their insurance. But in fact, everybody in this country is going to have access to health insurance because they won't be discriminated against.
People are losing their insurance. The costs are going way up. And once, you know, you get to the employer mandate being implemented, good luck keeping the job numbers up.
Somebody on Twitter had said wisely and accurately that you can measure the Cook partisan voting index of a particular member's district, meaning how Republican is or how Democrat it is or how swing it is, based upon the seriousness of their question. Meaning that if you're a Democrat in a swing district, you're actually asking a real question, that you're actually going to ask something that's kind of substantive and that kind of is, you know, suggesting there needs to be some sort of accountability. You're getting from those types, you're getting a lot of, are you certain it's going to be ready by November, by the end of November?
Right.
You know, that's not exactly a scathing, blistering cross-examination, but it's within that, you know, one, it's an actual question. Two, it's an acknowledgement that the first deadline was missed. And the third thing is an applied wariness and concern that they won't be able to keep their current promises, having totally failed to keep the previous promises. From the likes of Waxman and Frank Pallone and the diehards, you've got some really awful grandstanding. And to listen to some Democratic members of Congress, the single biggest problem with Obamacare is that some Republican members are criticizing it. You can only do that when you have a district that scores at least a D plus 10 or something like that, where you know you're really never going to get voted out of office. The total collapse of Obamacare has really no consequence on you. You're going to get reelected no matter what. So you can basically go on there and play defense. Unsurprisingly, that's not going particularly well. We shouldn't be surprised by this. It is kind of disappointing that these folks, like that these members who voted for this, every last one of them, who backed it, who, you know, told their constituents how great it was going to be, don't feel the slightest need to hold her accountable or even get questioned. Like they're basically saying, you've completely loused this up. And I'm perfectly okay with it because my job is to be, you know, to play James Carville, to play the lefty guy on Crossfire and attack my colleagues instead of actually getting answers of what the heck is going on here.
Well, you'd think one of the biggest answers coming would be about website reliability, even though she's not technically the one reworking the code and all this stuff. So can we be assured, Madam Secretary, that the website will not keep crashing when people are trying to use it?
The website has never crashed. It is functional, but at a very slow speed and very low reliability.
At this very moment, the website has crashed and says that the people have to come back because it is not functioning right now. Jim, so as one person on Twitter said, it all depends on what your definition of crash is.
Yes, I also have breaking related news, Greg, that it has now been clarified that the Hindenburg landed too quickly on fire, but did not technically crash. I mean, you just want to talk about semantics and hiding behind, you know, technical definition. Because, you know, Ben Howe, one of my favorite guys on Twitter, is a right of center guy who makes some very funny videos, was saying, well, technically I work in this and technically the site hasn't crashed. So, you know, there are Nick Burns, your company computer guy, can get into the technical definition of what qualifies as crashing. To most people, the term crash means it's not bleeping working. You know? I had thought that was going to be the talking point of the day, that would be the soundbite everybody was going to, you know, hear a lot. I now start to think whatever might be the new one that's going to preempt that. She began by apologizing, and at one point she said, I'm responsible for the debacle.
Yes.
Now, I kind of like the name DebacleCare. I think it kind of helps describe what this program is turning into. You know, also the soundbite that at this point she says she has no data on how many people have successfully enrolled. We're 1 month in and they're saying that they don't know this, which, you know, to a lot of folks, we just don't believe them. We're now at a point of just absolute flailing desperation on their part. And the defenders of the administration are starting to really, you know, they just don't know what to say. I saw Andrew Sullivan had said that he chalks this up to Obama's laziness. I would also like to note, Greg, that this means that Andrew Sullivan is calling the first black president lazy. I'll let everybody kind of, you know, just note that and move along. And the other one is that Chuck Todd says that when he tries to get answers from his usual White House sources, they're in a bunker mentality. They really don't know what to do at this point. They're going to play the old playbook of deny, you know, saying that the site has never crashed. It doesn't matter. Whatever. And, you know, spin around, attack the Republicans. The problem is that you're noticing it. And just wait for the story to go away. And this is the big difference between this one and Benghazi and the IRS targeting conservatives and even the NSA story. You know, that sooner or later, almost all these stories go away. Obamacare not functioning and people not being able to get health insurance when the whole point of this was to promise people they could get health insurance. That story is not going to go away because it affects just too many people. And you can't spin it with, you know, bringing some celebrity to the White House or something like that. And that's, you know, the traditional shiny object strategy of this White House isn't going to succeed. So I think the entire hearing qualifies as our crazy martini today.
No, I think so, too. And as the AP reported, and I saw you retweeted, turns out the president didn't know the website was having problems before it was actually launched. So shockingly, they didn't tell the truth there either.
On that happy note.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.